In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's a beautiful way to spend a morning, isn't it? A beautiful sunny day. You get up, have your coffee, come to church, find your spot, sit down and listen to the word of the Lord. And Jeremiah presents to us a picture that before we even finish listening to him talk, is a beautiful picture to us. It's a picture of a potter. In the modern world, pottery is considered an art form. It's not just a task that cranks out vessels for us to use, but it's art. And so when we think about it, it's beautiful and romantic and sensual, and we can just picture the light just right. Jeremiah describes that he went to the potter's house and he watched the potter do his work. And we picture it romantically and beautifully as the potter sits and centers that clay and begins to spin it with her feet and shaping it just right, keeping it moist and then shaping it some more. When it get a little off center, kind of gently smash it down and again try to get it back in center. If the clay is recalcitrant, it seems to have a mind of its own. The potter, eternally patient, just continues to shape it, pull it, woo it almost into the vessel the potter wants it to be. And the interpretation in our individualistic modern mindset is obvious. That's the way God is with us, right? God takes us and he puts us on the wheel and he forms us every day, gently drawing us into the kind of people God wants us to be. And when we are recalcitrant and seem to have a mind of our own, he pushes us down gently, moistens it again, and pulls it into another beautiful shape. Eternally patient, constantly working until you finally turn out the way God wants you to be. It's pretty. It's lovely. And it has nothing at all to do with what Jeremiah is talking about. This is no gentle potter. This is no artist that Jeremiah is presenting to the Hebrew people. Jeremiah is furious. He is angry. He is angry on God's behalf. So if we believe that the prophets are actually the spokespersons for God, God is angry. God is angry with the kingdom of Judah because they are not being the people that God wants them to be. Jeremiah preached earlier, before Josiah was king, railing against infidelity and unfaithfulness and the neglect of the poor. And then when Josiah ascended to the monarchy, Jeremiah stopped talking because Josiah was doing what God wanted. Josiah was reestablishing the covenant, making the Hebrew people the light to the nations, showing the world what the love of God looks like. Everything was fine. Then grandson Jehoiakim ascends to the monarchy, and he is dishonest and self-serving and a puppet to Egyptian power. He is trying to gain more for himself through political intrigue. Jeremiah clears his throat and steps back into the pulpit and begins to rail against this infidelity. Rail on behalf of God. God is angry. How long? Apparently, God wants to know, is it going to be until you become the servant of God? How long until you serve the Lord? How many things will you put in front of your service to the Lord? And so this image is a violent, angry image that the potter is frustrated and smashes the pot. It doesn't say gently smushed down. Smashes the pot, flings it away, maybe grabs a whole new piece of clay. I will do this with someone else. Whew. God is mad. Jeremiah's mad. I don't like mad. Do you like mad? I'm not an angry person. I don't like listening to anger. I don't like it when you get mad at me. I don't like it when Chris gets mad at me. I don't like being mad myself. So when God is mad, I get really uncomfortable. And the timing's kind of bad, too. You know, because it's the first Sunday back for Sunday school. I don't want to stand up here and rail against you and tell you how unfaithful you are. I want you to be happy today. I want us to hear some pretty music, and I want to receive the body and blood of Christ. I want to go to Sunday school. I want you to come to Sunday school. So, you know, because I don't like anger, and because it's not an appropriate day for it, let's just do this. Let's take Jeremiah. Let's sit him over here. And we'll deal with mad old Jeremiah some other day. And let's just turn our attention to the gospel instead. All right, let's go to Jesus, because Jesus is all about love. Jesus is all about forgiveness. You know, he's got all those great stories about the one sheep that's lost and how the shepherd leaves the 99 behind and goes after that one. Jesus is talking to individuals. We're kind of finished with talking to nations at this point. Apparently God has given up on that whole idea. And so we're just going to talk to people. And Jesus is all about love, all about wooing us into God. Until we get to the 15th chapter according to Luke. Because Jesus is madder today in our gospel lesson than Jeremiah ever dreamed of being. What's he so mad about? Jesus has been talking for 15 chapters, wooing people into a relationship with God, trying to urge them into the kingdom, trying to urge them away from being self-serving and self-important, and to be honest and honorable, and to be the light to the world, to show the world the love of God through this person of Jesus Christ. And he even tried to woo them with that sort of self-interest. The two stories that are just before this one in the gospel lesson. You know, he talks about, oh, you want to be someone who's honored? Well, you know, practice a little humility. And people will think you're humble and they'll think that's really neat. And then they'll ask you to sit in a better place. So people go, oh, I see, that's kind of cool. I think I'll do that. It'll get me what I want. So now there's a group of people who are following Jesus. And Jesus, it is such a shocking change right here in the 15th chapter. It's as if Jesus spun around on his heels, looked at the people who were following me and said, what are you doing here? Well, I kind of wanted what you were talking about. Do you? Really? You want what I'm talking about? If you do not hate your mother, do not hate your brother, do not hate your father, do not hate your sister, do not hate your life itself, you have no place in the kingdom. Whoa! What happened to the place at the table? And then he rants. He just goes on. He does these two horribly aggressive imagery. No one builds a tower that doesn't count the cost, because he'll look like a fool. So count the cost if you want to follow me. And no one goes to war without deciding whether or not he thinks he can win. It's all these dark, violent images that Jesus is throwing up there for people to listen to. What is this? It's Jesus' version of taking the clay off of the wheel and flinging it into the corner. He has burst the doors open to any idea that you can be a follower of Jesus and keep doing what you are currently doing. And the light blazes in. The pot is cracked. And we have to listen to him. Got to listen to Jesus when he's angry. I don't like that. I bet you don't either. I sure don't preach it very much, so I must not like it very much. Jesus is asking his followers, and I think he is asking us, how many things will you put between you and serving the Lord? And how long until you get started? I don't know, you know, just as soon as I get my kids out of elementary school, I think I'll be able to serve the Lord a little more, have a little more time. As soon as I get them out of high school and, you know, deal with all that adolescent stuff, maybe I'll have a little more time, then I can start serving the Lord. Well, if I can just get them through college and get all that tuition paid and get that done, then I'll have some free time. I'll be able to serve the Lord. As soon as I get my career started, I'll be able to serve the Lord. As soon as I retire, I'll serve the Lord. As soon as I get a certain amount of money in the bank, then I'll be able to serve the Lord. How many things stand between me and serving the Lord? And apparently, from Jesus' tone of voice in today's gospel lesson, I don't have forever to sort this out. So what am I going to do? What are you going to do? This may not be about you at all. You may be there. but I'm not. I've been thinking about this a little bit on sabbatical, and I thought about it a lot this week. When Jesus is mad, I pay attention. And honestly, it's not because I'm afraid of Jesus' anger. I've never had any use for an angry God that's looking for ways to harm the people he created. I think it's because I think I know Jesus. And I think I know Jesus really does love me. And it really is born out of love. And so when love gets angry, we pay attention. Because there's a reason. I'm not where I need to be. And he can see me. He can see me for where I could be. And he wants me there. So it's time to look inside. So I don't know about you, but here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I am personally going to do in response to today's gospel lesson. Because it's St. Paul's, we say that outreach is the expression of love in the world. It's one of our vision statement. I have filled out my application to be a volunteer at Indian Spring Middle School. I put it in Aaron's box on Friday. And you have some choices, the things you can do there, and I don't know, maybe I can read, so I could probably do that. And maybe mentor a kid as long as there was adult supervision around, you know. I don't know what they can do with me, but I hope they'll call. And I hope they'll let me do something. I'll sweep the gym or whatever. Because it is long past time for me to get outside the walls of this church. And outside the walls of my house. And to share the love of Christ with someone in need. I'm also going to study more. You know, preachers have to study the Bible a lot or we're going to be really lousy preachers. But we study it in order to prepare for something. But the invitation in the prayer book of the baptismal covenant is I will just study. So I plan on studying, just to study. And I'm going to do it here with you as we explore the text on Sunday mornings. I'm going to do it in Sunday school. I'm going to do it on Wednesday nights. I'd like to do it with you because I'm not very good at this by myself. So it's more fun to do it with other people for me. So I'm going to do that. Part of the reason I'm going to study is because we at St. Paul's say the Christian formation is pivotal to this church being the kingdom of God in Waco. So I am going to let this Christian get formed a little more. We also say that community is really important, that I don't know how to be a Christian by myself. In the Episcopal Church, I love this about us. We do everything together. We don't do anything by ourselves. It's because we need each other. Hold each other accountable, lift each other up, support, love one another, see if we're on the right track, all that stuff. So I am committing myself to this community and to participating in our community events. I'm going to be here on Wednesday nights. I'm going to break bread across table. I'm going to participate in the 150th anniversary activities. I'm going to go to the all-parish stuff. As long as I'm in town, I'm going to be here. And I'm also going to actively look around the room for people I don't know. That's kind of hard to do because, you know, we're talking to each other and we're interested in what's going on in each other's lives, and that's all really good. That's part of the community part, but I'm going to look for people that I don't know, and I'm going to approach them. And I'm not giving you a choice. I'm going to make you do it too. And this is how it's going to work. It's going to be very specific. I've already done this to some of you. The proven extroverts in the room already know what's coming, but I'm not limiting it to extroverts anymore. If I'm standing at the door and we are talking and we're having a nice 37-second long conversation, which is the kind we have in the narthex, if I see someone out of the corner of my eye who I do not know, who is leaving this building and no one has spoken to them, I'm going to send you. Whoever I'm talking to is going to follow them out the door and talk to them. So just get ready. Might cut down the length of the line at the door. I don't know. And because we in our mission statement and because we in the Christian faith know the basic job description of a Christian is to praise God, to worship. That's it. That's our first and most important thing we do is worship. I am going to worship. I'm not just going to take up space in this room. I'm going to worship passionately intentionally. I'm going to sing my heart out. I'm going to let this wonderful group of singers here help me sing my heart out. They are not here to praise God on our behalf. They are here to lead us as we praise God. And they sing really well, so sing. You could sing Yankee Doodle Dandy. No one will know because they sing so well, so sing. I'm going to sing. And you better sing loud because you need to drown out my singing. And I've also got a little administration to do. I've got to go home. You know, it's been a busy summer, so I may be a little behind on my pledge. I'm not sure. So I've got to look at my check account and see if I've kept my promise that I made to God and that I made to this church. And when stewardship comes around, Chris and I are going to increase our pledge. Because this is the most important thing in the world. There is nothing. Mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, more important than the kingdom of God. So I'm going to do those things. Maybe you'd like to come do some of them with me. It would actually make it easier for me to do it. But doing it so that God can take the clay that is this place, and it is my little life, and put it on the wheel and get it centered and shape it into the vessel He wants it to be. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.